Episode 3 of the NFL Draft Podcast, and we finally have actual live games to talk about. I'm Rob DeRay.
I'm Stan Talui.
And I guess that's not totally true that this is the first time, because we could have easily talked about Webb Davis and the Cal-Hawaii game during our last...
We could have, but we didn't.
Yeah, but we didn't. I'm fine with that, by the way.
So am I.
What impressed you week one?
I'm just going to take 10 seconds to get this out of the way so that I don't talk about it later on.
No, I told you off the air.
Just 10 seconds.
I said if you go talk about it for more than 10 seconds, I'm going to lose it.
It's all I need. 10 seconds. Okay. Miami looked really good. It was FAMU. I will say this. What impressed me the most was the defense and the fact that we had three running backs go over 100 yards each. That's all I'm going to say. That's it.
Most people would have started off saying DeShone friggin' Kaiser.
Yeah, cool. That's fine. He was cool, but, you know, whatever. He was very good. He was very impressive. I was really impressed. I came away really impressed. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. Nobody knew because we didn't know who the starter was going to be. I'm tired of teams, and we saw it all weekend, using multiple quarterbacks. That stuff doesn't work. If Malik Zaire is your guy, pick your guy. If DeShone Kaiser is your guy, pick your guy. But Kaiser showed why he should be the starter. And we just saw today, they announced that he was named the starter. So, I mean, it's the right decision. He played his tail off, man.
It was obvious watching. The reason that, for a lot of people, Kaiser wasn't on, you know, in the discussion with Watson, Kaya, or even in the second tier, was because all reports at a training camp and early spring practices was that Malik Zaire was going to win that job. Assuming that he can't win the job at Notre Dame, he'll probably won't be a first-round pick. That's out the window after we saw him play.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's one game, and no one wants to overreact, but if the NFL draft was today, Kaiser, if the team needed a quarterback,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you take Kaiser?
Absolutely.
Based on, you know, what you can expect going forward.
He showed he can make a lot of the NFL throws. I mean,
about Watson, he's a little smaller.
He's stocky.
He's lean. Kaiser.
He's a better runner, though. I give him that.
Who?
But Zaire. Zaire's a better runner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'll take less running ability for the things that Kaiser brings.
Kaiser looks like, you know, an NFL quarterback.
Doesn't he kind of remind you, of what Colin Kaepernick looked like when, you know, he was in like his second year and he was starting to get a little buzz and winning games in a row. He's tall, he's lean, he takes big strides.
Kaiser's got arm. Kaiser looks more like Cam Newton than Kaepernick.
Yeah.
He doesn't run like Cam Newton. Like, it's the easiest.
That's the difference I put.
He's getting the ball out on time.
He's got a strong arm, too.
He's making some really nice throws. Yeah. Leading in, Watson, a little underwhelming against Auburn, at least to me, in terms of NFL tools.
I'll put that more on Auburn's defense than Watson.
Who's on Auburn's defense that you thought it was going to be so spectacular? Clemson was billed as, you know, possibly being the, you know, best offense of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily the best offense of all time, you know, by the eye test, but thinking they could break some of these records.
Mm-hmm.
Had two receivers coming back with Mike Williams, who is a stud.
And they said he put on weight. He put on weight and he looks faster.
Yeah, he looks great. But they're adding him to the receiving core that they had last year.
Right.
That they kept, I think, either four out of the five or maybe all five offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Plus they brought back Wayne Goldman. Like this... And Jordan Leggett, or Leggett, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Doesn't matter. Studs across the board. 19 points against Auburn. Watson wasn't sharp.
To your point, I can't, you know, off the top of my head, name any Auburn guys on the defense. Other than Carl Lawson, of course.
Who was great, but, I mean, really, you expect more from Watson. He had all the hype, and it just didn't happen. Mayfield. Not necessarily a surefire draft pick, but another guy. He just didn't perform up to level expectations.
If you're looking at just the numbers, he looked like he played a fine game. Over 300 yards.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Two touchdowns.
If you watched,
but it was a struggle to get it. You're right. It was a struggle to get those yards.
The thing about him last year and the reason why he even put himself into the mix, even though he's not that big, he doesn't have the biggest arm, is because he seemed to make every right decision at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
But against Houston, it just wasn't happening for him.
Now, Houston's team has been good lately. Obviously, this year, they came in ranked. Do you put that on the defense being inspired to play Oklahoma, or, you know,
that's just the second time you just assume that a team was inspired.
I'm just saying, like, I know if it's me playing a team that's better than me, I kind of want to get up for that game. I want to play as well as I possibly can.
I think Oklahoma was a little overrated, but I thought they were going to overcome because of Mayfield, because he's a great college quarterback, or he was expected to be a great college quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks who did not impress or underwhelm, your boy Chad Kelly.
First half, Chad Kelly was unbelievable. I mean, he was leading guys. He was, you know, calm in the pocket, making plays. You know, he didn't look rattled at all. For whatever reason, second half comes and this guy just imploded. I mean, bad Chad Kelly came out for sure. Three interceptions, a fumble, didn't look good. I like Chad Kelly. If the Giants are in a position to take him, I think I'd still want them to take him.
In round one? With a top 15 pick, since you're not making the playoffs?
We don't know that. We don't know that. Late first round, yes.
We'll see.
Early second?
He'll probably be there, because that Chad Kelly is exactly what everyone warned, which is the good and the bad.
The decision making was awful.
Some of it is just horrible. But enough about quarterbacks within the last week. I'll give you a chance to say if anything else stood out this week. But the Alabama defense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My Lanta.
Yeah. I mean, you look at on all levels. I mean,
we could do a big board right now of Alabama defensive players who are going to get drafted. And I would be flabbergasted to come up with it. Who would you put one? Reuben Foster, Jonathan Allen, Tim Williams, Ryan Anderson, Marlon Humphrey, Eddie Jackson.
I personally, we talked about this off air. It's hard to justify what one Alabama defensive player does, because you don't know if it's impacted by what the other really good Alabama defensive players do. So, I mean, you have Marlon Humphrey had that pick six, and Tim Williams was all over the Reuben Foster. I mean, it's just difficult to differentiate one from the other, but as a unit, they're just unbelievable.
I don't want you to think that I'm predicting that six Alabama defenders will go in the top 10.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, that's crazy. But there's six different Alabama defenders who could go in the top 10.
Yeah. That's just how good this team is. It's ridiculous.
It might be Saban's best team.
Defensively. I mean, offensively, they're playing a freshman at quarterback, and I mean, true freshman, I believe, as well, right?
They played Blake Barnett, who's a true freshman, and then Jalen Hurts, who's a redshirt freshman.
Okay, all right.
Or I might have it backwards.
Well, yeah, but they're both.
They're young.
First time.
They don't have senior AJ McCarron. But right. You know what? Senior AJ McCarron doesn't mean anything.
Right.
When you have a defense like
this. No, it's insane. It's ridiculous.
Anything that you saw that you just wanted to mention from the first week of college football?
I mean, the kick six in the Houston game was impressive.
NFL draft. Come on. Stay on top. Yeah, it was great.
Dalvin Cook looked good.
As a receiver, he didn't really run the ball that well.
Yeah. I mean, either way, he's slicing.
But NFL comp is Jamal Charles, and that's what Jamal Charles does. When he can't run the ball, like, he makes big plays in the passing game, and that's the reason that you draft Cook, is because he can do everything.
Right.
And he's got that speed, whether he fumbles the ball off his own knee out of bounds.
Oh, my God, that was ridiculous.
I also wanted on record that my boy Stan, big Miami fan, told me in confidence that DeAndre Francois was his guy.
Look.
You don't say anything.
I just look.
You don't say anything. You just move on.
Talent is talent. That's all I'm going to say. I hate him because he's a Seminole, but as soon as he graduates, he's my guy.
One last question. Do you take anything away from watching Brad Kaya shred, what are they, an FCS defense? A small school defense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you take anything away from Lamar Jackson scoring 8 touchdowns and a half? Any of these Goliath beating up on David, NFL draft stock-wise?
Yes and no. I say yes because it's essentially like, let's say you're watching like the combine, like, you know, or anything like that, where like you see them make the plays, even though it's against lesser defenses, but or against no defense at all. You just look at arm strength. You look at, you know, pocket presence, things like that. It's not totally, you know, useless, but at the same time, they are playing against, you know, lesser teams. Like, if Brad Kaya come October does that against Florida State, that's when you really take stock into it.
I didn't even watch Brad Kaya. He was the number one quarterback on my board, and I didn't even watch him because the competition.
I were you, don't watch him for the first 4 weeks of the season because they're not playing anybody that warrants. I mean, maybe Appalachian State after we saw them give a scare to who was it?
Tennessee,
right? So
or Tennessee could just be terrible. We were talking about Josh Dobbs. You were like, oh, I kind of like Josh Dobbs.
I do not
like Josh Dobbs.
Everything I say about Josh Dobbs, I take back. He didn't. I texted you. I think he made me look stupid.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Any last thoughts before we get down to a quick rookie report?
I think that's it for me. I can't think of anything else, really.
Anything you're looking forward to next weekend? It's a pretty weak slate of college football games.
Yeah, Virginia Tech, Tennessee is not. I'm not inspired by that.
Well, you need. Well, I am now, just to see if Tennessee is, you know, a decent football team. But
I mean, but against Virginia Tech,
at least it's something. Yeah, to see if they can function.
Is there a third Fuller brother that we don't know about that's playing at Virginia Tech still?
It would be a fourth if there was.
Oh my god! There's so many of them.
One didn't play corner. One was a receiver.
There's Kendall, Kyle.
I don't know the oldest one.
Oh my god! That's the oldest one's name. I think there might be another one actually.
It's just forever.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. All right, we're going to be back with the rookie report. All right, the preseason is over. We're getting to week one NFL action. NFL draft podcast, but we are going to kind of touch on the current group of rookies in the NFL. What we're going to do here, I'm going to mention a rookie, or in some cases, I'm going to cheat and mention a pair of rookies. What do you expect from them week one and very shortly this season?
Okay.
Sound good?
Sure.
Carson Wentz, week one starter for the Eagles.
Who are they playing again?
I believe they're playing the Browns.
All right. See, yeah. I was thinking about it's difficult because we've talked about how high we are on the Browns, but not defensively. So I think Carson Wentz should have a decent game. I don't think they're going to expect him to, they're going to put a lot on him because he didn't play a lot of preseason. With that rib injury. I don't think he played any preseason.
Barely since week one of the
preseason, right. So I think he'll, you know, they'll keep it simple for him. They won't have a lot of crossing patterns, running the ball a lot. They're going to rely on their defense, which, you know, Philly's defense isn't terrible.
Pretty good defense.
Yeah. So I would say Wentz has a decent game.
I think he's going to be terrible.
Yeah?
I think he's going to be terrible. This guy's coming from North Dakota State. Didn't play anybody in college. I'm guessing he didn't play anybody good in high school. This guy still never had, like, real competition. Like, that was when we were talking, I was explaining to my friend, like why he would be drafted second. Like, why did colleges miss on him? And my answer was, like, well, he was from North Dakota State, so colleges don't recruit him up there. And he's like, colleges probably don't recruit him up there because he doesn't play any competition.
Right.
So now this is the last 8 years of his life is playing no competition, and he's finally got some, and it's going to be week one NFL with no preseason to speak
of. But it's against the Browns.
Doesn't matter. I think he's going to just poop his pants. He's going to be terrible. I think he's going to be terrible all year, but especially in week one. All right, number two, a pairing. Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott against the Giants in week one.
I think one's going to do well and the other one's going to do well because the first one did well. I think Zeke Elliott is going to have an all right game. The Giants' defense is revamped, but you know, I haven't seen them play a full game together, so I don't know yet. That being said, I think Zeke has a decent game because he's playing behind a monstrous offensive line. I mean, if the Monstars like came back and picked football players, these are the guys
that I would watch that movie.
I would. Call it Space Gridiron or something like that. I don't know. But I think he's going to have a good game and he's going to take pressure off of Dak, and I think Dak is going to have an all right game.
Yeah, I think Dak does just enough to keep the hype train rolling.
Right.
I bet you he doesn't throw. I'm feeling no turnovers, and it even if he's not good, it becomes a thing.
Yeah, I see him with, you know, 225, maybe two touchdowns, maybe, you know, definitely a touchdown for sure. I think he's going to get a touchdown. And no turnovers. I think that's the most important part.
I think that, like, that's the big thing. Even though he's had some turnover-worthy throws in the preseason, the fact that he came out with zero turnovers is what's kind of been driving a lot of the hype.
Yeah, mixed part plays.
Derrick Henry and the Titans versus the Vikings and their vaunted run defense.
You said it right there, the vaunted run defense. I mean, you look at on all levels. You have Linval Joseph in the middle. You have Sharif Floyd. You know, you look at the linebackers.
Anthony Barr, Kendricks, right. Harrison exactly. Smith.
Absolutely, yeah. Even the corners, you have Xavier Rhodes. I just think that defense as a whole is too talented. Especially Derrick Henry is not the starting running back, so there's still DeMarco Murray. So I think I don't think Derrick Henry has a great game.
Yeah, I think he gets his carries. I don't think he does much with them.
What do you say, 10 for like 30?
That could be it. All right. My fourth one I'm going to throw at you. Joey Bosa versus the Chiefs. What do you think?
It depends on how many snaps he's going to have. I think
he might not play at this point.
I think it's too soon.
Do you think he gets on the field? How about that?
I think he gets on the field. I think there's plenty of opportunity. Defenses, you're going to get, 80 snaps a game?
About.
He can't get 5? I don't see why he can't get 5.
I think they'll find a way to get him on the field for 15 snaps.
Yeah, just go get the running. Go get the quarterback. Just be a disruptor. Third and long.
Whatever it is, it's going to be a disappointment based on the long saga.
Yeah, he's not gonna do much.
The last one, specifically, this line of questioning. Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack for the Jaguars versus the Packers.
Wow. Well, Miles Jack, the last preseason game he played in, he went from middle linebacker to outside linebacker.
Yeah, I think he's gonna play the weak side linebacker.
It's interesting. I don't think Miles Jack is gonna do particularly well. I think he'll be in the mix, but I think
people really liked him, and they kind of, because he was able to go one on one with like top receivers.
Yeah.
They kind of overhyped his coverage skills. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to pick on him in zone coverage on those underneath crossing routes.
If it was a lesser quarterback, I'd be like, all right, maybe he might, you know, do. He
I
might
think a veteran, both rookies. I think Aaron Rodgers will kind of take advantage of their inexperience, even if their physical talent says that they'll probably be pretty good players and have really good seasons.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, when we're talking about these two guys, they're going to be very, very good players, but. Right now, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. If it was like, you know, Sean Hill, I'd be like, hey, well, you know, maybe they'll have a good game. But we'll see.
All right, two more questions for you off of that simple line of questioning. What do you think about Jared Goff being inactive for week one?
I think it's fine. I mean...
You think it's fine? Case Keenum starting and Sean Mannion's the number two?
Were the Rams ever going to win? What are they going to win, like? 6 games, 7 games.
They gave a buttload of picks to go from 15-1. Jared Goff is not starting. Carson Wentz is starting. He played in the FCS last year.
I know, but
Dak Prescott starting. He was a 4th-round pick.
But if you're the Rams, you're protecting your future. You want to maximize the long-term future of Jared Goff. I mean, you look at, you know, throughout history, it never hurts to have a quarterback sit for, you know, a few weeks, half the season, a full season even.
Yeah, but Case Keenum, Sean Mannion, he can't break into the top two? That's a problem. You want to talk about the long-term future of Jared Goff with the Los Angeles Rams?
It's even weird to say. It's not.
Yeah, I hate it. Yeah. the long-term prospects of Jared Goff, I think, take a huge hit here that he can't dress for the first game in Los Angeles. I don't even know if they're home or not, but...
I think they are against San Fran. I think it's better for him because who's he gonna throw it to? He's gonna look awful. And even
but he's got the San Fran defense. You want to talk about?
Imagine if he looks bad against San Fran's defense. How bad would that be?
If you're drafting him first overall, and he's gonna look bad against the San Fran defense, don't draft him first overall.
I mean, and you give up next year's first and third as well.
Horrible.
I just realized this because I'm in a fantasy Madden league, and I ended up picking the Rams, and I don't have a first or third round pick.
Yeah, just start over and pick a different team.
That's too late.
Anybody else surprising this week? Any rookies you think we'll be talking about next week?
Actually, yeah. And this is going to sound like a homer pick, but I mean, the Dallas defense isn't very good, so I'm kind of curious to see what Sterling Shepard does against that Dallas defense. We don't know what Victor Cruz is yet, so I'm curious to see what he's going to look like.
I'm taking Carl Joseph, safety for the Raiders. They're playing the Saints. Ooh. I think the Saints are really going to try to open it up, and Joseph, he missed most of last season with that injury, but he had three picks in one quarter the last time I really saw him play football, and he's one of those guys. He just looks like a savage, and I'm sure he's just been waiting to get out there for some real football
action. He might try to kill somebody.
He might. What a vicious hitter he is with the ability to get the ball. That would be the one rookie I hope we're talking about next week.
I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody you think is going to be disappointing?
Yeah. Probably tons of people that I like hated originally. I think Taylor Decker is going to be horrendous as the left tackle for Detroit.
Okay. All right.
I don't even know who they're playing.
I can't remember. Who are the Lions playing? The
Lions are playing the Colts. Thank God he has a week reprieve from looking terrible. Eli Apple, I'm not looking at great things.
But he's not going to start. He's at best a nickel corner. I don't think he's going to get a lot of playing
time. Lucky that.
Plus they signed Leon Hall, so he might not even play. Get to see him see the field much at all.
You have somebody?
Artie Burns. And as much as that hurts me to say.
So you want DeAndre Francois to be the number one pick in the draft next year but somehow fall to the Giants, and you're taking shots at Artie Burns.
I'm not taking shots. I'm admitting that he has limitations and the Steelers shouldn't have taken him.
Josh Garnett, guard for the 49ers that they traded up back into the first round to get.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look terrible against Aaron Donald as a rookie.
Oh, of course. Who is going to look terrible against Aaron Donald
as a rookie? The pick was so stupid, like it's just going to be exacerbated how bad he looks.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
No, that's it for me.
We'll talk about plenty more rookies next week. Right now, we're going to talk about some of our favorite running backs in college football this year. Should be fun. It's the year of the running back in college football.
I agree.
It's not even something you agree. It's just that's what they're saying.
It is what it is, yeah.
A lot of talent. I have 19 guys right now that I feel are probably worth a draft pick.
Okay.
Which is tremendous considering I had one running back in my top 78 players last year.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very different.
Was he 78th?
No. It was Zeke. But Paul Perkins was my number two running back, and he was 79. A lot of running backs. First, I want to ask you, like I said, there's tons to choose from. Who would you put into that superstar first-round talent pool? How many and who are they?
Nick Chubb, for sure. I don't know if I can say how many right away. I'd say Nick Chubb.
We'll figure it out as you start listening.
Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook. All three. No, I'm not gonna say all three of my running backs, but definitely Joe Yearby. Joe Yearby did look good.
First round pick?
No, are you talking about first round?
Yes.
I would stop right there. I think I would stop with those three.
Stop at three. I think.
I thought you were talking about just drafted in general. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
those three. More than three drafted, right. But I meant like who are your superstars?
I think those
I agree
three guys,
on Fournette. He's got all these physical tools. I wish it looked a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he looks great. I feel like I wish that there was something more vision, something else besides, the power and speed.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're asking a lot, but the way Fournette's being hyped.
He doesn't look spectacular. He's almost boring.
Maybe that's it. He's got the speed, he's got the power, but I feel like there's something else in terms of the cuts he makes in the hole, the decisions he makes. If he's going to be that, like, possibly number one player on a lot of people's boards, I wish there was a little something more to give it to me.
Okay.
Nick Chubb, I agree, is a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. A lot of people kind of forgot about him.
That last 55-yard run to pretty much put the game away, I mean...
He's back.
Yeah.
He's back. His tape from last year when he was healthy, it's unbelievable. His blend of power and speed, it's not quite Fournette, but he has this balance and this ability to make decisions in the hole and cut off his blockers in such an effective way. He, to me, watching him, he looks better than the recent Georgia running backs like Gurley and Keith Marshall and Knowshon Moreno and all these guys that I remember.
Nick Chubb breaks tackles better than anybody I've seen, I mean, in the last couple of years. He's hard to take down, like you mentioned, the balance. I mean, it's almost like trying to tackle a bowling ball.
Yeah, and it's not like Fournette and that he's just too big to bring down. He does it with such like subtlety and nuance. Right. I really love the way he runs the ball. Right. I also have Dalvin Cook. He just proved himself as a receiver. He can affect the game in a bunch of different ways. McCaffrey is the guy who sometimes gets pushed into that tier. I don't know how you feel about him.
I like him. I don't think he's a first-round pick, only because I think...
Is it because he's white?
No. Yeah, a little bit. No. A little bit. I like... I think... I don't know if it's him or the offense or the play. I don't know what it is.
He does too much, but he doesn't do enough of one
thing.
It's
like he's the all-purpose guy, and like I think there's
a stigma.
Yeah, like Reggie Bush coming out. I had the same feeling about. I was like, all right, but this is in college. Is he gonna be able to? He's not gonna be able to do that same kind of thing in the NFL.
But he also came into the NFL. Reggie Bush did. At a time where no one was able to utilize his skill set, New Orleans was a great fit because they threw him the ball, but they were never able to get him as a runner.
Well, they did. They've never gotten anybody as a runner, son. That's since Deuce McAllister.
I think that this current NFL might be able to figure it out. Like, you don't think that putting him on the Patriots at the end of the first round, like
absolutely. He like we said, you know, the first week of the podcast. He reminds me of a lot of, like, Danny Woodhead. He's a running back who can, you know, come in certain situations, in pass-catching situations, and he's the kind of guy that'll get 75, 80 passes a season.
And McCaffrey's definitely on the borderline. We're talking about the next group of running backs. Who stands out to you?
Guys that are getting drafted, or we'll talk about further along?
Yeah, after the first round, now we're talking about.
Like I said, I didn't want to jump too early with some of the guys.
But all right, you can talk about Yerby now.
Joe Yerby did look good. He's technically the second string running back, but he got just as many carries as Mark Walton did. He looked good.
Just like previously, I had to add Corn Elder because you talked about him on the podcast.
Well, that's different.
I'm adding Yerby.
You shouldn't have just had to add Yerby. Yeah, well, you should have already been there.
I don't know. There's a lot of other guys I'm coming to for him. I really love Jalen Hurd. I think he's got some size and some ability to move, even more than Derrick Henry had last year at Alabama. Like, he's not the bruiser that Henry was, but he doesn't have that... I wouldn't give him that Brandon Jacobs title of a 6'4 bruiser. The guy can really move. James Conner looks like he's back.
He's back, man. He's healthy. Really good.
He had the cancer, is it lymphoma that he had? Mm-hmm. But the treatment looks like it really is, you know, he's back to full form. And, and a guy who's as physical as he is, I'm glad to see that.
And the last time he played, you know, he was on that Pittsburgh team that I think overachieved with Aaron Donald. And
right.
He was very, very good.
Tarion Falston, who missed most of the season for Notre Dame, I'm glad to see that he's back healthy. Mm-hmm. He's a size, speed marvel, where if he really starts to get going and get his speed back, I thought he could be a really damaging player.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Clement looked really good for Wisconsin against LSU. LSU's defense is good,
right?
But Clement was able to really keep moving those chains for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think he did
a big reason that they won that game.
I thought he did a pretty good job. And, you know, Samaje Perine is a guy that I was looking forward to watching this season. You know,
he's a little underwhelming. Yeah. Joe Mixon kind of looks like maybe the better back out of the Oklahoma backfield.
And Joe Mixon came in with more hype.
Mixon looked like he brought like another element. I know he caught a pretty big pass down the middle. He looks like he might be able to do some things. He might be jumping up on radars. One guy who I really liked was Sony Michel, Nick Chubb's backup.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he came in. He had a very different style. He didn't always look great. He wasn't always moving the chains, but I thought he had some real big playability and the ability to get to the edge and look really dangerous while doing it.
Georgia's looking, I mean, as far as running backs go, I mean, Georgia's been putting up some really good players lately. I mean, credit Mark Richt for leaving Georgia in a really good situation.
And we haven't even talked about Royce Freeman, Wayne Gallman, Elijah Hood, Oregon, Clemson, and UNC running backs. Poised for big years, a lot of hype. You know, we have Shaq Linwood of Baylor, people like Kareem Hunt from Toledo was a guy we thought was coming out last year who might have been picked. And even further on, Devion Smith of Michigan, Jeremy McNichols of Boise State, Justin Jackson, Northwestern. Justin Davis didn't look so good in USC's debut, but against Alabama, you got to give him a break.
Yeah, who would look good?
Running back is just loaded. Like, you could see 10 guys coming off in the first three rounds.
How many would you say in the first round? Definitely those three, for sure, right? Maybe a fourth?
One could fall out. I think you're more likely to get two than four, but there's definitely the talent to warrant those picks. Now, with the year of the running back, you're expecting a running back to be drafted really highly. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott drafted fourth overall last year. How high can Leonard Fournette go?
I think last year was a special situation because Dallas...
I think that's exactly right. Like, the only way that... When I did a first mock draft, and that was a while ago, it was right after the NFL draft, like, I put, I think, Leonard Fournette around 17 to the Giants at that point. Like, that's where I had the Giants drafting based on Super Bowl odds.
Right.
And people were like, Leonard Fournette's going to go way higher than that. I'm like, well, what team, like, is going to pass up on their star quarterback or their star pass rusher to take a running back in the first round? Like, who is in a position where a running back can make that big of a difference?
Yeah, it's got to be the perfect scenario. It's got to be the right mix of a team that needs a running back, a team that can afford to take one without, you know,
sacrificing. Yeah, yeah. You know, even Dallas, like, they put themselves in a spot by not taking like a Jalen Ramsey,
right,
or if Joey Bosa would have fell to them at that spot. Like, they really left, you know, a big playmaker on the table when they probably could have gotten by with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden.
Right.
Who's going to be in that position? If the Browns have a top five pick, are they taking Leonard Fournette?
I don't think so.
No way. If the Eagles have a top five pick, are they taking Leonard Fournette? Probably not.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I can see them.
Like, their offensive line is now in shambles.
Right.
They need a receiver desperately. Like, they could use help at corner and safety.
I think most teams that are going to be drafting that high are going to need plays at other positions.
Are the 49ers going to take them?
No. No, there's too many other. Like, it would have to be, not even the Giants, because, like, the Giants have offensive line issues on the right side.
Right.
It
all depends how it falls. Like, this is not a great draft for offensive linemen, but there's pass rushers galore.
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple quarterbacks in
there's
the mix
there.
There's
going to be some corners.
And I think that there's probably two corners that are worth top 10 pick, and there's probably five or six that should go in the first round.
Right.
Like, you're going to need to find a spot where this fits. I think Dallas was a really extreme situation of a team that was one piece away on offense, and that piece was running back.
Right.
And they found themselves by accident in a position to draft in the top five.
Right.
Unless somebody gets hurt and finds himself in the top five without, you know, many other holes, and I don't know who that would even be.
Even
the best teams in the league have major holes at this point. When you think about Denver and Carolina, like, if God forbid something happened, they ended up in the top five. The Packers, like, they wouldn't be thinking running back.
No.
It was very specific to the Cowboys.
Right.
I think the Raiders would be a team that if they tanked for some reason, they might think running back. But if they really tank, like, something else must have gone wrong.
Right.
Maybe we're not thinking they're
solid as
they thought.
Running back isn't the reason why they wouldn't do well.
Definitely correct. Same reason why it wasn't the reason the Cowboys didn't do well. Something else went wrong, and they found themselves with a special talent.
Right.
And they're like, maybe we'll take him.
That's why it was not that it was a surprise, but I think that's why we're gonna get to a point where whoever does take a running back in the first round next year is gonna be like, all right, well, that guy, how do you pass on Fournette is what they're gonna say.
I think that we're more likely gonna see a team, if Fournette gets overdrafted, will be complimenting the team that waited until the 20s to take Dalvin Cook or Nick Chubb.
I agree.
We're going to have a lot more running backs to talk about. I know this week I'm really looking forward to Royce Freeman of Oregon against the Virginia defense.
Yeah.
The Virginia defense looks terrible, but safety Quinn Blanding, one of my favorite safeties, especially in the box guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Royce Freeman was breaking tackles at a rate similar to that of Nick Chubb and Leonard Fournette.
We don't typically see that from Oregon backs.
I'd like to see him out in space and see what he could do. Anybody else you're looking forward to seeing?
Not really. I mean, I
like to see more from Wayne Gallman too, from Clemson. He's not inspiring against Auburn.
You're right, and I mean, I think all the focus in Notre Dame was on the quarterback and the receivers. I Folston did play well, and I'd like to see a little more.
He needs to get more into the mix.
Yeah,
and you know what? Who's Miami playing this week?
It's some small school. I'll be honest with you.
So I still can't even pay attention.
I told you, not till week five.
All right, we'll get
like
there.
Like 4 or 5.
All right, this is the token part of the podcast where I tell you if you only care about the NFL draft and nothing else, you might want to tune out. We are going to come back with our full TV big board. In case you're leaving us, you can follow me on Twitter at Rob DeRay.
At FunnyManStan.
And email us at draftpodcast@gmail.com. Now, for the time you've all been waiting for, full TV big board.
I'm really excited about this, because this is my opportunity to really pick out the good shows from the myriad of trash that's coming out this season.
How many of the shows that you have on your top 10 list do you think you'll actually be excited to watch? I'm at 2.5.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Definitely 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Interesting. 6 shows. All right, so this could be interesting. All right. Top 10 full TV shows. I'm going first. My number 10, One Mississippi, starring Tig Notaro. Have a soft spot for her.
She's funny.
It's an Amazon. It was described as a tramedy. Not even a dramedy, a tramedy.
Oh, God.
Tig Notaro stars as a fictionalized version of herself, returning to her hometown of Mississippi after her mother passes away suddenly.
That could be interesting.
Listen, Transparent was a pretty good show on Amazon.
I haven't watched that.
I'm giving Amazon the benefit of the doubt here. I'm going with the Tig Notaro show.
Okay.
Stop me and just let me know if one of these ends up on your list.
Okay.
Number 9, No Tomorrow, starring two people I never heard of, Tori Anderson and Jesse Rath. It's a CW show. Did not expect CW to show up on this list at all.
A show about vampires?
No. A woman falls for a guy in her neighborhood, but I guess the comedy part comes because this man is convinced that the apocalypse is imminent. So it's a romantic comedy, okay. But she's got to deal with this guy who just, I don't know, it looks like he was just living YOLO to the fullest, thinking that the world was going to end any day. So I was like, all right, I'm feeling it out. Number 8, The New Lethal Weapon.
Oh, God.
The Lethal Weapon. One of two famous kind of cop dramas that are coming, the other one being Training Day, which sounds terrible the way they're remaking it. This one doesn't sound much better. The classic franchise coming to the small screen with two new guys playing the mismatched partners, Danny Glover and Mel Gibson.
But isn't it Damon Wayans?
Yeah, I'm in on Damon Wayans. I need a little more Michael Kyle in my life. Are you out on Damon Wayans?
No, but this is beneath him. He can do so much better. Plus, it doesn't even fit what Lethal Weapon is. The black guy is supposed to be the old, grizzled veteran. Why not like Isaiah Whitlock? He could have played. Maybe I would have watched that.
I wouldn't have watched it anyway. I need more Michael Kyle in my life.
I don't even know who that is.
That's like my wife and kids. That was his character.
Oh, I thought I thought that was the white guy.
I just want him to be that.
Who's the white guy playing? Clayne
Crawford. Who cares? For my 7th and 6th show, I have a pair of HBO shows. 7, I have Insecure. Do you know the...
Yep.
I don't want to mispronounce her name, so why don't you just say it?
I don't know it, but...
Okay. It looks like Issa Rae to me. I know her...
Yeah, I think it's Issa Rae.
I only know her a little bit, but it's based on her web...
Awkward Black Girl, I think it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. That's on my list. Should I tell you where? I don't...
No, you don't have to tell me where, but it's nice to know. We'll talk about it more when you talk about it, because you probably know more. And I have one spot ahead of it, Sarah Jessica Parker's new HBO show, Divorce.
I was looking at that, but I wasn't sure if I really wanted to give it a shot. But it's an HBO show?
It's an HBO show. She's returning back to her Sex and the City home. Like I said, I'm at about 2.5 of these shows. I'm actually going to give a legit shot. Sarah Jessica Parker, Thomas Hayden Church. Could be good.
It's an HBO show.
It's an HBO show. It deserves at least a look.
You're
10 to 6.
All right. Number 10, I've got Like I said, this is, I'm not going to watch a lot of these, but Designated Survivor, it's with Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay, I have that. I have that coming up in my top five.
I don't want to watch it because I do want to watch it because I like Kiefer Sutherland. I love 24, but
I never watched 24.
Loved it. I loved every second of it. I binge watched it.
But Kiefer Sutherland looking like the most rattled person in the world who all of a sudden has to be president, just something about it. And I'm watching the trailer, and the trailer's getting me like kind of like, oh, this is a little interesting. And I'm Googling like what would really happen, and I find
out that it would never actually happen.
But it's a real thing. Like they keep one cabinet member doesn't go to the State of the Union address in case they blow up the State of the Union.
Right, so that's where it takes place, because I didn't really do too much research, because I'm definitely not going to watch this.
There's a terrorist attack that takes away every member of Congress, for this one and every senator, every congressman, like the janitor, every cabinet. So he's literally the only person in American government, federal government, left. Oh. So he becomes the president. And everyone like mad at him because they're like, you don't deserve to be president. Like, well, I don't know who they think deserves to be president.
I think I might give that a shot then.
I'm in. I want to see what's happening.
It premieres September 21st.
I'll probably have that on the DVR.
At number 9, only because of the success of the Serial podcast and on Netflix Making a Murderer, The Case of JonBenet Ramsey on CBS September 18th. I'm interested because personally, I think she's still alive. I'm a little curious about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't remember JonBenet Ramsey? You don't?
I didn't even see this come up as one of the shows that, like, when I was looking.
The little pageant girl. Remember the little pageant girl that was killed and nobody knows? They never found the killer.
No, I guess I don't
think
care.
If she's dead, I think the parents did it. All right. Or I just like these true crime stories.
Interesting. Number 9. What we got next?
Number 8. Better Things on FX. It's basically the female version of Louis. Pamela Adlon.
That's so reductive.
But it's essentially that.
But Pamela, it's
much better than
I'll get you
it's,
back.
It's
I'll get you back.
That's fine. I see what you're saying. But here's the thing.
Well, I think we talked about this earlier today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I know where you go with this.
So,
but she writes on Louis.
I know who she is.
The voice of Bobby Hill. I love Pamela Adlon.
We're gonna get back to that one anyway. That's on my list. So.
And number 6 is where I had the show with the black girl. Can't remember. All of a sudden,
it's right.
Insecure. Yeah,
Insecure.
I think it's the one. The one-line pitch says it's the portrait of friendship between two black women as they navigate work, relationships, each other, and life in general. So right up your alley, Rob. Black girls, I don't know.
So it's like the black Broad City or like the female togetherness.
Yes.
I'll just reduce everything down to one thing.
Like we can do that for all of these.
Like you did. All right. So now we can kind of go back and forth if you have any thoughts.
Okay.
My number 5. Son of Zorn.
Yes.
You have. I knew you had to have it.
I almost at the exact same spot, but
Jason Sudeikis. Anything he does is great. This also stars Cheryl Hines. Mm-hmm. The one line is, what would happen if Cheryl Hines' ex-husband was He-Man? So Jason Sudeikis plays the voice of He-Man, is the only cartoon character in a seemingly all live-action world. Jason Sudeikis, I'm in. He gets the top 5 spot for being Jason Sudeikis.
This show, it premieres September 11th on this Sunday on Fox. And look, if there's anything we know about Fox, is that this show is going to get canceled at some point. But it's going to be hilarious, and people are going to love it.
Listen, the last year's weird show was supposed to be Last Man on Earth, Will Forte, which I enjoyed immensely.
Loved it.
So I'm in on Jason Sudeikis here.
And he was on that too.
A lot of potential. A lot of potential.
Okay.
You're number 5?
Westwood. On HBO.
Oh, I'm out.
Really?
I'm so out on Westwood.
What?
It looks terrible.
What a great cast. It's got a great cast. Anthony Hopkins is on it.
Anthony Hopkins has just James been collecting Marsden. Paychecks. James Marsden? Yeah. Oh, what do I care? What do I care about James Marsden? Because he was funny in 30 Rock? He really wasn't. He was just okay in 30 Rock. Because he was hilarious in Enchanted? I'll give you that.
Never saw Enchanted.
James Marsden? Not doing it for me.
You're not going to watch Westworld?
I'm not going to watch one episode of Westworld.
At the end of the day... Is it Westworld? I've been calling it Westwood all this time.
I think it's Westworld.
You might be right. I don't know. Because I still miss Deadwood. But the point is, I will always give an HBO show a chance. Always.
Sure. Not in my top 5. My number 4, The Good Place. Speaking of always going to give somebody a chance, Ted Danson starring.
Okay.
Mike Schur is creating it. Who
all right.
produced Parks and Rec and The Office.
Did he also do... Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or is that somebody
else?
Yes. Love that show, by the way.
So, Ted Danson, Kristen Bell, It doesn't seem particularly interesting. A woman dies and goes to the good place, in quotations, only she's not actually supposed to be there. I have faith. I have faith in the guys driving the ship.
What channel?
NBC.
I will give that a chance. I love Mike Schur. I love Kristen Bell. Fun fact about me, I watch more episodes of Becker than most people would care to admit.
I love Becker. Funny. I thought Becker was hilarious.
Fantastic show.
Ted Danson, he can't go wrong. All right, you're number four.
My number four is Luke Cage. I'm a big Marvel guy. I watch Jessica Jones. I actually look a lot like the actor that plays Luke Cage, except I'm a lot shorter and less strong.
Don't sell yourself short.
Well, I'm not 6 foot something.
Hell.
Nobody knows, actually. I shouldn't have admitted that. Anyway.
Yeah, you could have just lied.
You're right. But I'm a big Luke Cage fan. He's basically a big black guy that's bulletproof. And I think in today's society, we need that. So that's Luke Cage.
I'm not doing a Marvel. Not making
I get
my
it.
Top 10.
I understand.
I'm out. I can't do Marvel.
You're not a Marvel guy. I get it.
My third show, Designated Survivor. We already talked about it. Yeah. It just... Something about it. It just got me. Like, that's when I said I'm going to watch 2.5 shows, I'm going to watch the pilot and see how it goes with this one. But I could imagine myself watching it.
I've stepped away from a lot of ABC shows because they seem repetitive to me, but I see what you're going with this. My number three was Son of Zorn, we already talked about.
Before we get to my top two, I think I'm just going to throw out a couple of other ridiculous choices that almost made my top 10 because full TV, as always, terrible. Kevin Can Wait.
Saw that. Not only can Kevin wait, he can go somewhere else with this TV show.
Listen, Kevin James on CBS, he gets a little leash.
No, thank you.
King of Queens, he gets a little leash.
Yeah, I get it.
The Great Indoors with Joe McHale. Fogel's in it from Superbad. An adventurer returns to the headquarters of the magazine he started to find that he's lost touch with his audience. I'd rather just watch season 3 of Community again, but worth mentioning. This one sounds fantastic. Man with a Plan. Did you see this one?
No.
It's Matt LeBlanc and Jenna Fischer. Matt LeBlanc, Joey from Friends, Jenna Fischer, Pam from The Office. Yeah. A man becomes a stay-at-home dad and realizes how much work raising kids really is. Actual copy and pasted from the description of the show.
Did the writer of the show wake up in 1992 and say, this is going to be a great idea in 14 years.
Oh, my God.
That's awful.
There's a show. I can't even. There's a show, Pitch, starring...
not going to watch it. Saw it. Not going to watch it.
But what if Ali Larder shows up in the whipped cream bikini?
The odds of that... I mean, it's on Fox, so maybe. But no, I'm not going to watch this.
I mean, there's a ton of other garbage. There's The Exorcist. There's...
Not going to watch it.
MacGyver.
Not going to watch it.
American Housewife with Katie Mixon. I was a big Katie Mixon fan.
Who is that again?
That's the girl from Eastbound and Down. She's like the heavier girl that Danny McBride was always into.
Yeah, yeah, the one she was on Mike and Molly, right?
Yes, but it could have made the top 10, but the description is one woman's quest to fit in without compromising her values in an uppity town.
Nope.
And it calls her unapologetically plump in the description.
That's messed up.
Yeah, I thought it was
That's basically,
up.
Do you remember that there was a show, I forgot, I think it was on Fox, it was a James Caan and a single mom or something like that. It was the same show. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Sounds terrible. Yeah. I just wanted to get a couple of... This is what we're dealing with. These are like... These are like...
Awful.
These are like 11 through 15, like, in terms of options.
These are the ideas that people have.
So, going down to my top two. All
right.
My second show, Atlanta.
Okay. I'm interested to see what number one is.
Donald Atlanta's Glover. I mean, if you don't know what Atlanta is, I'll let you have the floor. I'm sure it's your number one show.
Listen, if we're...
You watched it.
If we're being reductive like we've been so far, it's Black Louie.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's called the Black Louie, which I think is horrible to even say.
No, it's so much. It's so good. I watched the first two episodes last night. I wish every episode was an hour. That's how good it was. I went into it thinking that it was an hour because they grouped the first two episodes together. And I was like, I was excited. I'm a big Donald Glover fan. I've seen him in concert. He's hilarious. He won an Emmy. The guy is he's super talented. And I'm in on whatever
And in
he
a
does.
Different way where it's not just, like, you know, whatever he puts his name on is not going to be, like, if he wrote it, if he produced it, it's going to be different and it's going to be interesting even when it's not good.
And it's got an all-black writing staff, which is, is very interesting.
Is that, I know it's a non-white writing staff and a non-white, no white directors, no white writers, but I know there's some Asian directors.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if it's all black, the writing staff.
Right, yeah. That's basically the point. Yeah,
it's not white, which is...
Yeah.
I think that we don't even have to really, like, I feel like we don't have to talk about it because it was such an obvious pick as a top two show.
And it's
number one on your list, right?
Yeah, like, we're definitely number one. Yeah, for sure. But it's too difficult to really say what it is. It's so...
Donald Glover plays Ernest...
Marx.
Ernest Marx. He's a Princeton dropout, mm-hmm. and he's taken over his
cousin's... he's basically becoming his cousin's manager, who's a rapper, paperboy, yeah. Dude, there's some scenes that are just ridiculous.
I'm excited.
It's hilarious. I highly recommend it.
So what's your number two?
My number two is High Maintenance. It's a show on HBO.
Right. I know the guy. I
don't know the guy. Well, it's funny that you say that because the show description says it's a collection of short stories based on New Yorkers who all order weed from the same central character known as the guy. so I don't know his real name, but I think the show's got good. Look, it's a half hour show on HBO. It's the number of half hour shows on HBO that have been successful are really high, so I'm willing to give this a chance.
Well, that's fair. It might be a check in. Didn't quite make my top 10, but just because it seemed, you know, I wasn't sure how they were going to do it coming from a web series.
It's a male version of girls, maybe. I don't know. It's not too.
Or it should be reductive.
Yeah, just like the.
And then my number one was Better Things, the female Louis.
Yeah, the female.
Female Louis. She's so.
I'm looking forward to it.
Insultingly.
I'm looking forward to it. It starts tonight.
Every time Pamela Adlon was on Louis. She was terrific. Mm-hmm. She's clearly one of the only two comic voices in that show because she definitely had an influence over where the show went, which is really thought of as a Louis-centric show, but the seasons that she was heavily involved in.
She produced most of last season. She helped produce almost.
And she was great. She came back. I think she must have missed a season or two in the middle, but it was really, really nice to have her. And I think she's just got a lot of interesting things to say.
Throughout her career,
I think that show has... The reason she's at the top with Atlanta from Donald Glover, I think those shows have real potential. Like, they have a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a high floor because even if they're not great, they're going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Designated Survivor, like, that's high bust potential.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about, you know, maybe a hit, but more likely you're going to regret that. You're looking that down through after Designated Survivor, my 4 through 10. Like, you're grasping at straws, hoping to come away with something. It's a weak class. Pamela Adlon's Better Things, Donald Glover's Atlanta, both on FX. I think those are your real superstar potential blue chip prospects.
The ones that are going to become syndicated and, you know, picked up on other networks. I mean, do you think any other show has a possibility of doing, you know, 5 seasons? Any of the shows in your top 10?
Probably just The Good Place that Michael Schur is running it. They could get to 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really sound good. You're only doing that based on Michael Schur. With the Pamela Adlon show and the Donald Glover show, not only does the show sound good, but you know that they're being helmed by someone who has talent.
Yeah, and, you know, FX will give the creators that... They'll give them leeway. They'll let them play around. FX doesn't, you know, really... police Louis that much, and for good reason. I think they'll do the same thing with Donald Glover and Pamela Adlon.
Not a lot to look forward to, but those two I'm going to really have to check out. This has been another long segment of the non-football portion of the NFL Draft Podcast. We're going to cut it off right now. At Rob Dre, if you want to hear from me, see what we're going on in terms of the draft stuff. At Funny Man Stan.
Yeah, you can follow me and... you know, hear me rant about why Jerry Reese is the worst GM in football.
If you want to email us, draftpodcast@gmail.com. We accept questions on draft prospects and fall TV and Beatles movies, songs and movies and anything else you want to yell at us about. Tell us why you think that it was horrible that Stan said that Better Things was the female Louis, and like, oh, it's the female Louis. We'll put it in the top 10.
Because people keep saying that Atlanta is the black Louis.
Oh, stop. All right, see you next week.